Thank you for letting me be here. It's a privilege to be with Tim and to be with you. I thoroughly enjoyed our Sunday school class this morning. If you missed Sunday school, you missed a great deal. And I'm so glad that you had over 100 in Sunday school this morning. Keep that up and keep expanding it. I appreciate all the singing, from the youngest to the oldest. I've never been able to sing, but I've thoroughly enjoyed singing. And one of these days, I'll sing with the heavenly choir. I don't know what's the matter with your pastor. I've known him since he was a kid. Why in the world, for a youth day, would he get an 82-year-old man to come, to come and talk to the group? I don't know. Anyhow, I'll do the best I can. You pray for us. When we were sitting there a while ago, Tim said, not in these words, but in essence, just do whatever you feel like doing. The Lord has kind of approached me in a way that I've never experienced it quite before. So I want to talk to the young people for just a few minutes before I start preaching. Your life, God has a plan for each of you. Every young person and every person here as far as that's concerned. But especially young people. In this kind of world that you're living in, it's kind of strange to me. It's a lot different than when I grew up. But God has a plan for your life. Seek that plan. Follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life, and God will bless you in your life. Let me share a few things. And when God was laying this on my heart, I said, Lord, they'll think I'm bragging. He said, do what I tell you to do. And I've been whipped enough to know that I better do what he tells me to do. The Lord saved me when I was 13 years old. My ambition at that time was to be a country doctor. And some friends of mine knew about it, and they said they would help me. They knew I didn't have any money, but they said they would help me. I was 16 years old and at Reinhardt College, and God changed that. He said, I want you to preach. So God made that change in my life. At 16, if you are 16 in here, you know a little bit about what I'm about to say. My first case of, I guess you'd call it puppy love. But I thought I was in love with a young lady from Greenville, South Carolina. And as you will remember, if you go back at my age, this is World War II. I finished the 2 years at Reinhardt. Went in the Navy for 3 years, and this young lady and I were engaged for those 3 years. When I came home from the Navy, I expected to get married right away. She said, not now. I said, now or never. She said, not now. I haven't seen her since. God has a plan for our lives. A little bit later, God said, I'll show you the person to be your wife. Now, I'm serious, and this is real. God showed me the person to be my wife. I could have asked her then, but I didn't. Later on, she and I were married. And we spent 57 and a half years together until God took her home. In that interim, when I came home, I wanted to go to a theology school. God said, no. For this reason, God said, I want you in country churches. And at that time, I didn't know of a country church that would take you if you had a degree from a seminary. God said, they won't take you. I want you in country churches. I said, God, I need an education. I need to know how to study and how to learn. God said, I'll get you an education, but you got to do it my way. He did. And I'm not bragging, but God let my family see me get my bachelor's degree. And I went on a couple of years beyond that. I'm telling you this to let you know that God answers prayer. And if you will talk to Him about your life, about your job, the person you're dating or about to marry, your marriage, after marriage, if you will talk to God about whatever problems arise, your marriage will be a successful one. I worry today about so many people in our state and in our nation. I just read this in the Christian Index recently. So many people in the state and in the nation do not believe in God anymore. It has even gotten down for the nation to 5% of the people claim to believe in God. Fortunately, we live in an area where that's different. But I say all of this as, I hope, advice to the young people that you'll stop and think about everything that you do and ask God. God has a habit of answering prayer. So be careful how you pray. Be careful what you pray for. I want to talk about something, and this seems strange that God put this on my mind. At our communion service some Sundays ago, we got to the point where they were talking about the Lord's Supper. And somebody quoted this, and I want to read it. This you'll find in the Gospel according to St. Luke. And this is in the 22nd chapter, and it's the 15th verse. They were getting ready to, Jesus was getting ready to eat the supper with his disciples. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I supper. With desire. What is desire? It's something that you want very much. It's something that you seek, that you ask for, that you put your efforts toward getting. Think about Jesus now. He's saying this to his disciples just a little bit before he's going to be crucified. I want you to understand that God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, there is nothing that they do not know. There is nothing that has ever happened that they do not know about. There's nothing that ever will happen that they do not know about. Jesus knew all of this. In the first book of the Bible, you will find these words. And God said, let us make man in our likeness and in our image. Plural. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus was there. He was part of that. If you turn over in the New Testament and look at the Gospel of John, you will see that John ascribes to Jesus everything. He said everything that was made, in essence, he said Jesus made it. He talked about him being the Word, and the Word being made flesh and dwelling among us. Jesus' disciples said to him one time, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said, have I been so long with you, and you have not seen the Father in me? He was the personification of God Himself. And so as I look at this and think about it, knowing that Jesus knew what He was going to have to go through with. Now remember, when He was born of the Virgin Mary after being conceived by the Holy Ghost, when He was born of her, He had a human body. He was both man and God. As a human being, He experienced all the emotions that you and I have. His body got tired. He would get hungry and thirsty. He felt pain as you and I do. And here he is saying, with desire, I have desired to eat this with you. Go back in the annals of time. See, in the beginning where God talked to people, God talked to Adam and he talked to Eve. God placed them in the garden. God made the man first and then he made the woman. Performed the first surgical operation. When he said Adam, it was not good for him to be alone. So he was going to make a helpmate for him. And so he put Adam to sleep and took one of his ribs and made from that the woman and placed them in the garden. And it's interesting to note that as he placed them in the garden, there was one restriction that God said. God said, everything in the garden you can have or you can eat is for your good. There's one tree, however, you are not to eat of. Just one tree that you're not to eat of. That's the knowledge of good and evil. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We all know the story. We know how subtle Satan is. You know that in your own life if you're a Christian. You know that if you've never been saved, because if God deals with your heart, Satan will tell you, not now, too many people there. Wait till tomorrow, wait till next time, wait till next Sunday, wait till next year. All these things he does to delay. But here he came and he had a conversation with Eve. And she told him that there was a tree that they were not to eat of. For God had said that in the day that they eat, they would surely die. And you know what Satan said? He said, ye shall not surely die. One little word put in there negated the whole thing. And so they ate of it. And God placed them out outside the garden. But isn't it interesting that in that garden also was the tree of life? Have you ever stopped to think about it? God didn't say don't eat of the fruit of the tree of life. He said don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But when they had eaten of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, God said, we're going to put them out of the garden, lest they now take the fruit of the tree of life and eat it and live forever. So God put them out. God talked with them. God, you can read in the Bible where men walked with God. A man was walking with God one day and talking with him. And the Bible said, and he was not, for God took him. The first record we have of anybody being translated. If you and I happen to be alive, when Christ comes back again, we will skip death. Amen. You ever think about it? Look at what happened through the ages. Prophets, judges, people who were representative of God, kings, men like Moses, men like Abraham, whom God told to leave his country and God would bless him. And you find all of these things, and everywhere you turned, some people were receptive to God's work and some were not. The ultimate sacrifice had not yet been made. All through the ages, here's Christ, with God as always, seeing everything that happened, waiting patiently until the time when God said, Son, it's time that I'm going to tell that virgin and tell the Holy Spirit to impregnate her with you, and you will be born. You will live some 33 years upon the face of the earth, and you will die for the sins of mankind. Moses was given the law. Men could not keep the law. God sent one who could keep the law. But this is what Jesus, all these centuries, all this time, waiting until the time that God chose that he could come and that he could be what he is to me and to you, a Savior, and a Savior for the world. No wonder he could say that I, with desire, I have desired to eat this with you. Knowing the results, you say, well, what happened in the garden? As he prayed in the garden, and he prayed until his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. Father, If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. The human part of Jesus praying there in the garden. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And I want you to think about it. The Bible talks about the bride of Christ. In the last book of the Bible, John said, the bride hath made herself ready. She shall be arrayed in fine linen, white, fine linen. John said, I saw a beautiful city prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. What was he talking about? If you are saved today, all those people throughout all ages that have trusted God and God accounted it unto them for salvation, all of those people, all of us that's been saved, everybody will be a part of the bride of Christ. One of these days, God the Father is going to say, son, it's enough. He's going to say, go get your bride. Go get your bride. John described that beautiful city. It's very interesting to read about. We talk about the streets of gold. We talk about the gates of pearl. We talk about the foundation of the city. We talk about the precious gems and so on. But the most precious of all, if you look at it, John said, in that city, there would be no need for the light of the sun. For he said, the Son of God is the light thereof. Did you ever think that as a child of God, you will shine with the radiance of God? Jesus, when he went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, took some of his disciples with him. He was transfigured before him. The Bible said that his clothes shone. Where did that light come from? It came from Jesus himself because he was transfigured before him. You and I will actually be shining as the sun when we are part of the bride of Christ. Who will be in that number? And I want you to think about this. Who will be in that number? You say, well, I'm saved. John said, only the saved will be able to walk in that city and to live in that city. But John also said something else over in the last chapter of the book of the Bible. He talked about the invitation to become a child of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I today are the inviters, or we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be. God could have used angels to do what I'm doing. He could have used angels to get his message across, but he chose to use mankind. He had experienced the life of a human being. He knew all the ups and downs about it. He knew how people were tempted of the devil. He knew the problems that people had. He knew the joy when people, everything was going fine. He knew the sorrow when people were dying. And he alleviated a lot of that while he was here. He did a lot of things while he was here. The Bible tells us that all the books of the world couldn't contain all the things that Jesus did in that short lifespan that he was here. But he came in order that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. Today I am so happy in my soul that Jesus said, with desire I have desired to eat this supper with you, because I'm going to the cross. I'm making a way for you. I'm making it possible for you to be a part of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is within us. The Jews thought Jesus would set up an earthly kingdom and would get the Romans out of the way and get them out from under the Roman yoke. But Jesus didn't do that. That wasn't what he came to do. Jesus gave himself willingly, readily, at the appointed time. And God did everything according to his plan. When we pray, one of the things that we ought to end our prayer with, we ought to have thanksgiving in there somewhere, beginning, middle, and end. But we also ought to say, Father, if it be thy will. I've had prayers that were answered. I've had prayers that I thought were not answered. But I want to go on record as saying, a real prayer, God always answers. You say, now, wait a minute. I prayed for something and I didn't get it. God didn't give it to you because he saw you didn't need it. We ask for things that we want. Oh, so often, and I've used this illustration in my own life, so often my prayers are not as lengthy as they ought to be. God, I need this, I need that, I'm in a hurry, I got to go. You ever do that? Most of the time we don't really take time to pray. Something was said about praying in our Sunday school class and about how long people have prayed. How much time do we spend in prayer? How much time do we spend reading about God in his word? God took all manner of pains to get this to us. People lost their lives in order for us to have this Bible that we have today. And yet we find people who want to change it, who want to add to it and take from it and misinterpret it. God will take care of them. But I'm so glad that today God answers prayer. And I'll just share this with you. My wife was extremely ill, 3 different kinds of cancer. Nothing to give her ease from her pain. And finally, night after night, I sat by her and I would sit there and cry and pray. Lord, if you can't let her get well, please take her out of this because we can't get her easy. God answered half of my prayer, but the other half he didn't answer. I said, God, when you take her, I want to go too. And I really did. I wanted to go, and I was disappointed when the Lord didn't answer that prayer. And I said, Lord, what in the world? At 81, I said, Lord, what in the world are you leaving an 81-year-old man here for? I'm not good for anything to anybody. Why don't you just take me on home and get me out of the way so I won't be a hindrance or trouble to somebody else along the way? God said, I've still got a few things for you to do. Amen. I'm thankful to God that he still loves me. I appreciate the opportunity to do anything that God wants me to do. But I just want to make sure that it's what God wants. I'm too far along the track of life to start making too many mistakes along the way. I'm too far along the track of life to get to the place where that I can't feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. It is so wonderful to sit down at night and just to relax and have a little conversation with the Lord. Does he talk to you? Yes, he talked to me this week. I said, Lord, I don't need to tell all this about myself. He said, I want you to. I don't know why. God has told me so often, don't ask why, just do what I tell you to do and leave it in my hands. I used to worry about preaching so loud. And I said to somebody when they started to give me the little portable mic that's pinned to my tie, I guess. When I was pastor at Oak Grove and they got their first PA system, one of the deacons looked at me and said, we don't need that for you. Said, you're loud enough. But said, we do get some people that we can't hear. But you know, always worried about being loud mouth. I went to an associational meeting one year. There was very little parking space. And somebody was out there parking, telling us where to park. He told me where to park. I didn't know him. And he said, I won't talk to you when you come back by. I came back by and he said, you remember being at a certain church in revival back when no air conditioning, all the doors and windows were open? I said, sure, I remember. He said, I came to church. He said, you didn't see me because I didn't come in the church. He said, I leaned up against an oak tree out there in the yard. He said, I could hear every word you said as you preached. He said, God convicted me of my sin standing out there by that oak tree. I said, Lord, I'll never worry about being loudmouth again. We don't need to worry about what God wants us to do. Just do it. Amen. Just do it, and God will bless you in it. He'll bless your life. He'll bless your family. Now, are you saying, John, he'll make us rich? No. No. The government would have paid for my education, for example. But God said, no, I want you to do it another way. Lois and I struggled and worked it out, and God helped us over the years to get through that. God helped us over the years to get through other things. But I never found a time when I was in need, but what God always managed to take care of it. I'll give you one other instance. I didn't have a penny in the pocket, didn't have a penny in the bank. I needed some gasoline to get to church. I'd gotten out of the Navy in April and was called to a church in August. I needed some gasoline. Gasoline wasn't as high as it is now. I think it was 20-something cents a gallon back then, believe it or not. But anyhow, I went by the store. I knew the storekeeper. He had known me since I was a kid. I said, will you let me have 5 gallon gas on the credit? He said, yeah. So I got my 5 gallon gas and went to church. When I got ready to leave church, somebody stuck a $5 bill in my pocket. I stopped on the way back and paid him for the gas. God always takes care of us, but we got to have faith. Got to have faith to do what God wants you to do in spite of the devil. In spite of the devil. I said I'd hush. One other thing. In the middle of a revival, I had the service that night by myself. Unusual circumstances. I'll not go into those. I'd gone down into the woods behind the church to pray. I always came in the back door of the church. That was my entrance. I always came in the back door. The chairman of the deacons was happened to come in that door as I was coming up. Usually he'd greet me and ask me how I was. That instance, he looked at me and made this statement. I'll never forget it. I looked so down and out. I just didn't know what to do. He looked at me. He said, John, the devil is a liar from the beginning. Just turned around and walked in the church. That was exactly what I needed. How wonderful it is to do what God wants us to. At that same church, in I guess it was the first revival that I was ever in there, the altar had been filled up with people that were lost. And everything just kind of settled down. Nothing was happening. And I said, Lord, what can I do? He gave me the image in my mind of a lady. I didn't know her name. God said, go give her this message. I said, Lord, I don't know who she is. I don't know her name. How can I find her? But he didn't answer me that. I turned to somebody and I gave that person a verbal description of what God had showed me. He said, she's sitting right over there. I got up and went over there, and the message was, you better do what God wants you to. And I just turned around and walked off. She got up, came to the altar, got down on her knees in the altar and started praying. People started being saved just like popping popcorn on a hot stove. She did what God wanted her to do. And it was unusual, but God said, do it. So in your life, whether you're young or old, when God tells you to do something, do it. He doesn't play around. He means what he says. And if he sends you on an errand that looks so foolish, God will help you with it. Jesus said, with desire, I have desired to eat this so that you and I could be saved, so that we could have fellowship with him, so that we could understand the communion of the Holy Spirit, so that we could look forward to life after death, so that we could look forward to seeing our loved ones and all the saved of God one of these days around God's throne. Young people, God bless you. You're in a far different world to what I grew up, but God has not changed. We didn't have cell phones then. We didn't have a lot of things. The people hadn't gone to the moon. We hadn't done all of the things that have been done now. But with all of this, you can't get God on your cell phone. You can't get him if you're an astronaut and you go up and land on the moon or maybe to some other planet later on. But if you open your heart and sincerely pray and ask God
He will talk to you. He will talk to you. God bless you. Turn it back over to you, Tim. Bless you.
Thank you. Ask you if you would to come get a song at this time. I have been encouraged. Jesus is a friend that sits closer than a brother. When your best buddy in the whole wide world leaves you, Jesus is there. When your mom and dad, when they're not cooperating, Jesus is there. When your husband or your wife, when things are not going like it ought to be, Jesus is there. I wonder if someone is here this morning that needs a friend like that. I wonder if someone is here that needs a friend that will go with them all the way, not just to death, but through death. A friend that has gone to prepare a place for you that where he is, there you can be also. Tim, where's that place? It's a place called heaven. And he's building mansions in that place. Streets of gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearls. Out of God's throne, there's a pure river of life that flows there. You remember John talked to us about a tree of life in the Garden of Eden? We can drink of that river that Jesus has for us and live forevermore. Are you here today? Are you lost? If you are, would you come to this altar and meet my friend, Jesus? While we sing.
547.